Rashi Rabbani for many years, and he went to Landers. He retired a number of years ago. So he covered in 2.5 months. We got to the middle of that Beis Medrash. Every single thesis. And we didn't even finish all the thesis about that Beis Medrash. He squeezed out every line, every word. And I'll never forget, I was 13 years old. I remember that Arayom Hazeh. And it's like a few, 4 or 5 years ago, you know, so. Okay, here we go. In the Parsha Tetzaveh, which is really a very classy Parsha in the context of the Parshas of the Mishkan. I think I mentioned last time that Truma focuses on the Klei HaMishkan, on the Kelim of the Mishkan. We spoke about Aaron Kodesh. Tetzaveh speaks about Bigdei Kehuna. It talks about the begodim that are worn by the Kohanim that have to be L'chavad al-Sifaris, that obviously they were in the dormant on the Kohanim. So I want to focus on one pasuk, which is a very famous pasuk, the Perek Chavches pasuk Lamed. Aaron HaKohen, as you know, wears the begodim, and the Torah describes among the begodim that he wears the Choshe Mishpat. And the Choshe Mishpat that Aaron wears is Perek Chavches pasuk Lamed. The Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make the choshen and to make the ephod and to place the Urim Betumim. Rashi says the Urim Betumim, if you look at Rashi, Pasuk Lamed, Hugsav Shem HaMefarosh, the Urim Betumim basically has it in the Shem Hashem. Where was it placed? Says Rashi, B'toch Kiplei HaChoshen Shal Yodo Hu Meir Dvarav Hu Mesamim Is Dvarav. Rashi says that it was placed in the folds of the choshen. Choshen is the breastplate worn by the Kohen Gadol. And now, you have the Urim Betumim are placed inside the heaven is Yishem Hashem. And then the Torah says in the Pasuk Lamed the following. V'hoyu alev Aaron b'vorol l'fnei Hashem. It says that, in effect, they're going to be where? On the heart of Aaron. When Aaron enters before Hashem. V'nosa Aaron es mishpa b'nei Yisrael alibo l'fnei Hashem tomin. What does Aaron carry with him? He carries with him mishpat b'nei Yisrael alibo. What does that mean? So Rashi comments over here. Look at Rashi. The Urim Betumim, by the way, you know, he's the light up. That's when there was almost like a communication between Hashem and Aaron HaKohen through the instrumentality of the Urim Betumim. Rashi says that whatever they needed to inquire, what should they do, what should they not do, as Rashi writes on the Pasuk of Mishpat b'nei Yisrael, Dabar Shem Nishpatim Menochim Al Yodom, Im Lassos Dabar Lo Lassos. They would consult the Urim Betumim. So Aaron HaKohen carried that on his heart. So this is a very striking expression which already should arouse your fancy, arouse your pique. V'hoyu alev Aaron b'vohol l'fnei Hashem. The Choshe Mishpat was in effect carried by Aaron, and he carried the Mishpat b'nei Yisrael al libo l'fnei Hashem tamid. What exactly does that mean? So let us attempt to, shall we say, flesh this out, according to Chazal and the like. Let's go back for a moment, beginning of Shemos, in Perek Dalet. Look in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. If you recall, Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem wanted him to become the Mani and redeem, call yourself a Mitzrayim, so Moshe Rabbeinu hesitated. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu hesitate? He remonstrated with Hashem for an entire week, back and forth. That's what the Torah describes here in Perek Dalet. And what was the issue? The issue was Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about hurting someone else. Whom? His brother, Aaron HaKohen. Why? Because Aaron HaKohen was the one who essentially, for, shall we say, 60 years, was involved with Kol Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu? Nowhere to be found. Where was he? In Midyan. He was far away. And so now, what did Hashem tell him? Hashem tells him, don't worry. Look at Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayicharav Hashem v'Moshe v'yomer, Halo Aaron achicha levi yadati ki daber yidaberu. Correct? V'gam hinehu yotze likrasecha b'racha v'samach b'liba. What's the critical word here?
B'liba.
B'liba, thank you. That Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Hashem, don't worry. Aaron HaKohen will be overjoyed to see you. And why would he be overjoyed? Because obviously Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing wonderful tidings that Klal Yisrael is about to leave Mitzrayim with great wealth, cross the Yam Suf, proceed to Har Sinai, receive the Torah, and of course, and eventually come to Eretz Yisrael, Chalav Udvash. So obviously Aaron would jump for joy. Now, you know that Aaron, being a member of the Sheva Levi, was he subject to the bondage in Egypt? Rashi tells us no. There was one Sheva that was somehow free from bondage. Sheva Levi. This is also a very striking thing. Why were they freed from bondage?
They didn't volunteer.
I'm sorry?
They didn't volunteer for the work, wasn't
that? They were priests.
No, no, because Paro had a sense, if you remember, the Egyptians had a priest caste. C-A-S-T-E. The end of Pashas, the end of Sefer Bereishis, we see that there's a notion among the Egyptians of a priest caste, and they were not subject to bondage as well. And undoubtedly, a tzaddik at the level of Aaron HaKohen was deeply pained by the suffering of his brothers. So why did Hashem need to tell Moshe when he sees you, he's going to rejoice? Beracha v'samach b'livo here at Barak Dalet of Shmos, Pasuk Yud Dalet. So Hashem knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was frightened that, okay, perhaps that Aaron would be overjoyed at the prospect of meeting his brother after 60 years. By the way, they hadn't seen each other in 60 years. So even though he knew that, there was no question that he would be overjoyed. However, there might be a feeling of tsar. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu and not Aaron is being chosen as Hashem's messenger to deliver Kol Yisrael from Mitzrayim? Because all the years, Aaron was the one who bore the burden of Kol Yisrael in Egypt. And now, the great moment of Gula arrived, so should not Aaron have been given the honor of leading them? How could we expect him not to be heard? So what does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Don't worry that he will not even have one twinge of pain or any animosity towards Moshe Rabbeinu. What will be his reaction? Beracha b'samach b'livo. He will be absolutely in a state of joy. So what do we see? That just like Moshe Rabbeinu, his only concern was what was best for Aaron HaKohen, so too Aaron HaKohen, his only concern was for the welfare of Moshe Rabbeinu. And as if Moshe is the one chosen to be the man of Yisrael by Hashem Yisbarach, then of course, as far as he's concerned, Aaron is elated, and he's ready to be mavater. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, Akuf Lametes, famous Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara comments on this passage. The Gemara says, in the schus of this statement, Beracha b'samach b'libo, that Aaron HaKohen was overjoyed. And even though he was, shall we say, forfeiting the position of Manu Yisrael, but because of the simcha that Aaron HaKohen had, and his brother, because of that, Chazal say he was zocheh to wear the choshen ha-mishpat al-libo. That's the pasuk we began with in Parshat Tetzaveh. You look back in Parshat Tetzaveh, Chazal connect these two psukim, namely the pasuk in Shemos, bracha v'samach b'libo, and here, v'hoyu alev Aaron b'vo v'nei Hashem, this is the parak ha-pes, pasuk lamid, v'nosa Aaron ha-mishpat b'nei Yisrael al-libo, v'nei Hashem topic. If you recall, which undoubtedly you do, in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshanah, which is the Dvarim, look at Vayeshanah for a moment, it's Sefer Dvarim, in the beginning of the end of Perek Gimel, I believe it is, yes, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Vav Gimel. So there, we know that Hashem issued the decree. That decree barred Moshe and Aaron from entering Eretz Yisrael. Why? What was the punishment for? What sin? What was the chet? Mei Meriva. Just to show you what Mei Meriva is in Bamidbar, look at Bamidbar, Perakov. In Bamidbar Perakov, there the Torah says, Pasuk Yud Beis. Remember what happened over there? Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to do what? Speak to the rock. Instead, what did he do? Directly hit the rock. And as a result, the Torah says in Perakov, Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk Skukas, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Be'al Aaron. Because you didn't believe in me. Therefore, you're not going to bring Yisrael. So the problem, of course, is that when you read the psukim, it would seem that who was the one responsible for what happened to Mei Meriva? Who hit the rock instead of striking the rock?
Moshe.
Was Aaron actually involved in the chet? You just read the psukim over there. Take a look. Terechah pasuk zayin. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe lemer kachas amate va'akela se'ed v'atav Aaron achicha. Both of you should gather the people. V'dibartem loshen rabim. It's true. Speak to the seller. But what happens? Vayikach Moshe samate va'akela Moshe ve'Aaron. They gather them. Vayore Moshe esyodo va'achas haselah. Who's the one who hit the rock?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. So now in Vashanon, turn to Vashanon now. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu beseeches Hashem Yisbarach to enter Eretz Yisrael. What's the numerical value of the word Vayeshanan? 515 tefillos. Chazal said that Moshe Rabbeinu, in effect, prayed in order to enter Eretz Yisrael. Take a look in the Medrash, the Dvarim Rabba, right over here. And Moshe understood, obviously, what Eretz Yisrael was all about. And now the question, of course, is, what about Aaron HaKohen? Did Aaron HaKohen not have an interest in entering Eretz Yisrael? Did Aaron HaKohen, shall we say, one would think he also wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael, not just Moshe Rabbeinu. So one would have expected Aaron HaKohen to do what? Just like the Pasuk says here, in the beginning of Eschanan. And who's it talking about?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. So one would have expected that Aaron should also daven to Hashem to enter Eretz Yisrael. And as I said a moment ago, that Aaron was not the one who really was actually involved in the chet. The chet was done lichora al yidei mi, al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. On the contrary, take a look at the end of Sefer Dvarim. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu when he describes Aaron HaKohen in Perek Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Ches, beginning of his Osam Bracha. Ulevi Yoma. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say about Aaron? Tumecha ve'urecha le'ish chasidecha. Translate.
Urim
betumim. Thank you. Even though notice that the order is Tumecha ve'urecha. That's a separate kasha. I can't discuss it right now. Tumecha ve'urecha le'ish chasidecha. What does it mean le'ish chasidecha? A pious person. Aaron HaKohen was a chasid. A chasid is not only someone who, shall we say, wears payas and has a shrimal. You can be a chasid without payas and a shrimal. Possible. And even you from Montreal are aware of the fact you're also a chassid. The Gemara says, "Is there a chassid? I'm a chassid in Koinoi." The Gemara says a lot of things about chassidim. I once heard many years ago that I was present in Boston when Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, my Soloveitchik's brother, his younger brother, he started a yeshiva in Chicago called Risk. Fortunately, it's no longer a start. I just davened there about a week and a half ago in Brisk. My mechudin, I have a mechudin that lives in Chicago, so I davened in Brisk, the Vasikin. In the Vasikin minyan in the morning, it was very, very nice. And my mechudin introduced me to a lot of people. So, the yeshiva Brisk, which Abraham Soloveitchik started, so at one point, he was trying to raise money for the yeshiva. So there was a convention of Rabbonim, RCA Rabbonim, and I was a member of the RCA at that time, in Boston. And several hundred Rabbanim are there, and our Soloveitchik introduces his brother. And here's how he introduced him. On the smicha clock, when he gets smicha, our Soloveitchik used to write the following. He signed after the smicha. Yosef Dov, that's his name, Ben, the son of Moron Hagoin Hachosid, Moshe Halevi Soloveitchik, Zitzuka Lalala. Zetzukah means Zecher Tzadik Bekadosh Livracha Leilam Haba, something like that. I'm not talking to Rashi Tevis. So the Rav said the Shir was in Yiddish. Ah, here you are, Jacob. Harav Jacob Roth Shlita. The Rav said Mor Nishdo. There's no Moran. Ve'ad Geben Moran. Mein Vater. My father was Moran. Where are you, Cheskei? We may need a translator. Going. The second title that the Rav used. Das Geben mein Bruder. That's my brother. Which brother? The professor of chemistry. He had a brother who was a professor of chemistry. Dr. Shmuel Soloveitchik was a professor of chemistry in Wadi. He would say, Es Geben HaGoyin. He was a goyin, going to learning. Chassi? Who's the Chassi? Das is mein Bruder, Aaron Soloveitchik. He was sitting there. Why is he a Chassi? He said, everything he does is Lifnei Meshur HaSadin. Wow. He not only carries out the Shulchan Aruch, everything he does is Lived in Mishur Sadin. Those who knew Abraham Soloveitchik, he was a chassid shen kamoh. He didn't wear a shtreimel. Actually, he had payas at the end of his life. Massive payas, the brisket payas, you know. We won't comment. I don't have enough time to comment. You know Rabbi Natan? Some people hold Rabbi Natan, Motzei Shabbos. How many minutes is that? They don't marry after Rosh Shabbos? Only 2 minutes. How many minutes did Rabbi Soloveitchik wait? 90 minutes. How many minutes did Rabbi Soloveitchik wait? 110 minutes. The Shita Sagoyim. and he was male chumris and chsidus and the nimshur sadim. Without, he was a briska, correct? Without the payas, without the strimal, so he'd be a chassid without payas, without a strimal, etc. Okay, so now here, what does he say, Moshe Rabbeinu, about his own brother? Levi Amar to Mechabu Recha, Lish Chassidecha, you pious one. Hashem Yisisa B'Masa, you tested at Masa, Trivei Amei Meriba, Homer Liyavi Vilima Lo Isid. What does that mean? Rashi, you know the Rashi over there? Shechotu Be'egel. And when Moshe said, Mil Hashem Elai, who gathered around him? B'nei Levi. Of course, that's where Aaron HaKohen is coming from. But you agree there was less justification in punishing Aaron than Moshe Rabbeinu. So now the question is, why did Aaron daven to Hashem Yisbarach to lift the terrible decree? Not to go into Eretz Yisrael. My follower Shalom asked me this kasha. You hear the kasha?
Good kasha.
It's an excellent kasha. Correct. So I heard him tell us from Rabbeinu Rabbeinu, Hagoyim, or Rabbi Victor Demetzel Shiva. I asked him the kasha many years ago. And on the spot, he told me the following terrors, which fits into what we're talking about. Namely, he said, Aaron was afraid that he shouldn't succeed in reversing Hashem's ruling, allowing himself to enter Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, his brother, would be terribly hurt. Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to accomplish that. 515 tefillos. And Hashem said, Nyet. As Putin says, Nyet. That's Russian for no. Years ago, there was a Russian premier whose name was Khrushchev. He came to the United Nations and he took off his shoe. They're all crazy over there. And Aaron HaKohen was willing, said, Marina Rabbeinu HaKohen Adam Sol Shlita, to forfeit the ability to cross an Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it might hurt his brother, Moshe Rabbeinu. Pilei ploy. Neira leirois. Half libo feli. As Rosh Radon Zatzal used to say. One moment. In other words, we spoke earlier about the pure heart of Aaron HaKohen and how he merited carrying what the Chesha Mishpah and he carried the Mishpah and the Yisrael Alibo. There's a very famous pasuk in Tehillim Chazal, actually. I believe it's in Kuf Lami Gimel. You know the pasuk. Some people sing it. Hine Matobu Manoim Sheves Achim Gam Yachad. So Chazal say, who's that referring to? Moshe Aaron. Because not any two brothers can be described in such a fashion. Let's say Yitzchak and Yishmael. Can you say he named Matov and Banoim Shem Asachim Gam Yachad, or Yaakov and Esau? And not only them, but even the Shvatim, who also brothers, their relationship was not always, shall we say, Chad v'Chalak. Not always the smoothest. But here, Moshe and Aaron, their relationship was an ideal relationship. Chazal even tell us, a very fascinating way, when Chazal speak about Kronim or Apostle Eidos, they say, even Moshe Aaron, they're also Apostle Eidos. At the end of the day, they're brothers, they're Kronim, they can't testify. But really, they were so unbelievable and extraordinary, each one in their own way, that each one only wished for the other Kronim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, Ve'ish Moshe, the pasuk says in Bala Yisra, on the mode, Mikol Ha'odam, Asher Apnei Adama. So only two brothers who are so humble and so pure are capable of becoming the Manhigim and leading Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. By the way, in Parshat Kisisa, take a look at there for a moment, the Cheda Egal, if you remember, undoubtedly you do. Look in the Parshat Kisisa. In the context of the Cheder Egel, even it would seem that who's involved in that chet, clearly Aaron HaKohen, right? Take a look in Perek Lamed Beis. The Torah says in Perek Lamed Beis, you have it? Pasuk Aleph. I don't know if I have the same combination as you do. I don't think so. This one seems to be slightly different. It's on page 251? Oh, okay. Vayar ha'om ki boshesh Moshe l'arenes midahar. Moshe Rabbeinu is delayed coming back from Har Sinai. Vayikol ha'om al Aaron. So right away, who became the point man? Aaron HaKohen. And they gather against him. Vayomer elav kum asi lanu Elohim asher yelcho lefaneinu. Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish asher alonu me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yadanu me'hol yolo. We don't know what happened to him. And they basically went into what I call panic mode. That's what the Ramban says. Not just I. Sad you go. Many Rishonim say that. Kuzari, Ibn Ezra, and a list of others. Vayomer aleihem Aaron. So Aaron tells them, what does he do now? Aaron attempts to do what? What is his tactic?
Stall.
Excellent. He's trying to stall for time. What does he tell them? Pokud nizme azov asher bazin nishaychem b'nechum nasechem b'aviv Eloi. Bring me all the golden pendants and earrings and what have you of the women. Not just the women. B'nechem u'nosechem. What are nizme hazov?
Nose rings.
Thank you. The practice then was that even men also wore nose rings. We spoke about it earlier. Fortunately, it's become more common again today in certain circles.
Yes, sir.
Pasuk Gimel, spoke to Kolam, b'sniz me'azov, asher b'sneh, b'yivir al arvot. So what did he do? V'yikach mi'odam, v'yatzer osov acheret, v'yage egol maseicho. You have a smelting process. And then Aaron goes ahead to Pasuk K, builds him his be'ach, and says, Chag l'Hashem mochar, party time! Everyone loves party time. But all this was an attempt to stall, to delay. That's how the Rishonim see the Pesukim. And Vayashkimim Machos, Vayado Olos, Vayagishu Shlomim. And guess what? He got out of hand. Vayeshev Aram Dachal Vashaso, Vayakumu Litzachek. Chazal have what to say in Litzachek. As Rashi refers to Gilarayi, Shrizdam, Mabnezara, all kinds of terrible things. But Chazal say that even the chet of the Egel, and even the chet that Aaron apparently committed, only came about because of what? Mitovas Libo, the goodness of his heart. Aaron was afraid that if he doesn't agree with their request to make the golden calf, the people would kill him. Just like they killed whom?
Chur,
his nephew. Because he didn't want to comply with their demands. And of course, what would happen, the Marzal had in the first paragraph that you're familiar with, what would happen if Chas v'Shalom, that he would be killed, there would be kind of a Pasuk in Eichel. Excellent. That the Pasuk in Eichel says, it's found in the second paragraph of Eichel, in Yehoreg, Mikdash Hashem, Kayim Novi. That in the Mikdash Hashem they would kill whom? A Kohen and a Novi. And he was frightened that would be Mekuyim. So in order to save Klal Yisrael from destruction, because they wouldn't be able to recover, so what did Aaron do? He constructed the golden calf, the ego, even though it meant severe punishment, and it had not been for the Tefillah Moshe Rabbeinu on his behalf, he would have been destroyed. Remember the Pasuk in Devarim? Gambi Yisana Hashem. Hashem got angry with Aaron Neymar, that I'm going to destroy you also. And although Klal Yisrael, Rashi calls here in Shemos, the paragraph of days, they were actually punished for this sin, had they killed Aaron as well, who knows how far the punishment would have extended. Perhaps even Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to invoke the Yidum Amidos of Hashem Yisbarach to prevent them from total annihilation. They were supposed to be destroyed, and instead they were pardoned. Shall we say partially? A partial pardon. So Chazal tell us that you're not allowed to praise Aaron HaKohen for what he did. Because he was guilty of a grave miscalculation. He was not allowed to go ahead and make the golden calf, make the eagle. Who says that? The Gemara said, the Gemara said, correct? That's the Perush of Gemara. But however, there are positive aspects to the sin of Aaron HaKohen. Because whenever a tzaddik commits an avera, there are always aspects of good in a tzaddik and their behavior. And therefore, the fact that he was willing to be nice and nefesh for the sake of Am Yisrael, that's something which has to be seen l'tov, in his favor. And now I want to turn to the Megillah, because I think we find a similar situation in Megillah Sester. I think you have it in this chumash somewhere. Megillah, just give me a few more moments.
After the Sefer Shmos.
After?
Sefer Shmos.
Sefer Shmo,
Miguel Esther. After what?
Sefer Shmo, Miguel
Esther. 240. This
Chumash
is not there for some reason.
It's on page 600.
Oh, okay. Thank you. None of this Chumash either. Okay, but let me shut that. Here it's a minyak I have.
600.
If you remember, in the Megillah, which you are undoubtedly familiar with, when the Navi here in the Megillah speaks about, he said, look in Perek Beis, that's where it is. Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. In Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Megillah says there. Ubeze hanaru avar al hamelech, eis kol asher toma yinasim lo lo imam beis hanoshim a beis hamelech. Means whatever you are familiar with the beauty pageant of Ahasuerus, and you have here women spent 6 months in a shall we say, a Revlon vat. Imagine spending 6 months in a Revlon vat. That would be quite an experience. Shisha Baloshim Rishemin Amor, Shisha Baloshim Babsomim, Sabuki Anoshim, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ubazea Narav Boel HaMelech, whatever she wanted, 1 second, Yinosin Lo, the Boimam, Beis Anoshim, Beis HaMelech. However, regarding Esther, when her turn came, look in Pasuk Tezbov, what does it say? Vagia Tor Esther Basa Michal Dor Mordechai, Lo Big Shadavar, she requested nothing. Because obviously, she had been adopted, she requested nothing. So that interested in any honor. What was the only request according to Chazal, the Alvut Shemayni, Rashi alludes to it? Namely, that she be given kosher food. That wasn't for her own honor, it was for Klot Shemayi. That she be given kosher. And similarly, I told in Perek Beis, Pasuk Tes. Ve'sheva hanora, so we lost losses, there were 7 maids. You know why she had 7 maids? Because, excellent, she would count the days of the week. Each maid was like Hayom Yom Rishon Shabbos, her name was Yom Rishon. The second maid was Hayom Yom Sheni. Third maid was Hayom Yom Shlishi. According to Ramban and Chumash, Pas Yisrael, after Kiyam the Isa, of the Pasuk, as long as they were Shabbos, they catch it. So she had 7 maids in order to be able to keep track of Shabbos. Means when, shall we say, Fatima served her, she knew it was Sunday. They called her before. Not getting it all there. Let me just finish this point. When the 7th maid came, she knew it was Shabbos. What happens if one day the maid was sick and had to swap another? I don't know. Hashem probably made sure that it didn't happen because the Gemara says, and the Ramban says to Chumash, Rag lechassid av Yishmor, the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, that Hashem has a siyata d'shmaya over the chassidim. So we see whatever she did was for Kol Shemayim. She was not interested in what? In her own covenant. And that's why she was deemed worthy of saving Klal Yisrael from destruction. Who is the very opposite of that? Known as Haman HaRasha. If you take a look in Pasuk, in Paragimel Pasuk Beis, it mentions that everyone would bow down before Haman. We're not only talking about the servants, but even all the high-ranking VIPs bowed down to Haman. But of course, it wasn't enough for him. What does the Gemara say? He made himself into a what? Why did Haman do that? Wasn't the fact that everyone is bowing down to him, wasn't that sufficient? Shoveli. What does he say, Haman?
Doesn't mean anything to me.
He wants to be above the king. It's not Bakovadik, etc., etc. So therefore, in effect, Tesis writes in Masach Shabbos, Tesis and Dafayim Beis, points out that Haman actually, the people didn't take he made himself into a god, but they didn't take him actually seriously. They only bowed down to him because they were frightened of him. But he believed he was a god. But of course, there was one problem, and that is, who's the problem for Haman? Who mortified Lo Yichra? Lo Yishtachar. Is there one person who doesn't prostrate himself to me as far as I'm concerned? As Yitzhak said in Parakeh, the Pasuk says it very clearly. Parakeh, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'chol Zeh, Nenu Shoveli, not worth anything. And Chazal, actually, the Gemara Megillah Daf Tezvot, the Gemara has many interpretations, what exactly that means. But the simple interpretation is, if one person will not bow down to him, whatever covenant I get is worthless. Why? Because Mordechai, a Yehudi, refused to bow down to me. There's an interesting medrash I saw that alludes to the pshat of the pasuk. Chazal tell the story of a goy, of a non-Jew, who made a very lavish kind of feast. He decided to serve all the delicacies of the world, bar none. And one of the guests requested a certain dish, culinary delight, and turned out to be unavailable. So he became furious, and he picked up all the food and started throwing it in every direction. So the Bible describes here. And this host had a Jewish neighbor who was a member of Chazal. So the Talmud Chacham said to him, you had everything imaginable. Thousands of delicacies at this party. One thing. What difference does it make? So the non-Jew answered the following. He said, you Jews believe that there's Olam Haba. We don't. For us, there's only this world, and therefore, we should not lack anything in this world. Not even the smallest thing should be missing. What a nedush. Wow. So, when one examines the personality of Esther, which is, as I said, the opposite of the personality of Haman, it would seem that what one sees is literally a similar kind of personality to that of Aaron HaKohen. And this is something which is incredibly striking. And as you know, of course, even that's like the Megillah even tells us that Haman, look at Perek Gimel for a second. Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav. So there it says again. Why didn't Haman simply punish Mordechai? So the pasuk says that Va'yivez be'ein of the shloach yad b'Mordechai levado. It was contemptible for him just to go ahead and punish Mordechai. He gave it to Mordechai because a man of his stature, of such covet, to deal with one little Jew, Mordechai. So what's the only solution? La'ashmed la'aru v'la'avi nesal ha'yudin. We got to destroy them all. And to hang Mordechai from a tree that's Dal Ramos, that obviously is not sufficient. But rather, how high must the tree be? 50 Amos. Let everyone see. Anyone who doesn't honor me? This is the pursuit of honor in all of its totality. And that led to his downfall. Because if you recall in Perek Vav of the Megillah, what does Achashverosh approach Haman? He says to Haman, what should be done for the man whom the king wants to honor? So what goes through Haman's mind? Obviously, he must be referring to whom?
Me.
To me? Why did Haman assume the king was referring to him? What, there was no one who was deserving of the Nobel Prize at that point in time? Why Dafka was he assumed referring to him? Even had he entertained the notion there was someone out there who deserves a schar, he would have suggested that the person be given a schar, a check for aseres alofim shikar kesem, 10,000 talents of silver. And had he done so, when the melech told him to give to Mordechai, it wouldn't have caused him any embarrassment. He could have put the money into his bank account, Mordechai, and no one except for the bank manager would have known. But Haman could not even think that there's anyone else possibly deserving of the covenant of the king except for himself. So of course, what does he suggest? And as you know, pasuk ches, in Perek Vav, Yavir Lavush Malchus HaShalom HaShem HaMelech, let him bring royal garb, Vesus HaShalom HaLav HaMelech, Vashanitan Kesem Malchus Barosho, and of course has to be the very attire that the king himself has worn, which Chazal say in the Medrash was worn by Achashverosh on the day he became king, the Medrash, in Kohelos Rabba, and he should be paraded through the streets, Vilbishu HaSayish HaShem HaMelech HaMiz Bikar, Vilkiru HaLasus Bichol Vair, Vikol Vanav, so Chazal tells us, Haman wanted to go one step further. He actually asked for what else? For the crown. He also wanted the crown. But upon realizing the king would not take too kindly the suggestion, he retracted that suggestion. In other words, all the insults and the humiliation that Haman was undergo were his own doing. What led to his downfall? His haughtiness. Arrogance. Chazal say in the pasuk of Mishlei, "Lifnei shever gaon." Before a break comes gaon. What does gaon mean? Gaiva. How do you translate gaiva?
Arrogance.
Arrogance. Thank you. So Moshe and Aaron, as well as Mordechai and Esther, they ran away from kavod, and therefore they were deserving of kavod. And Chazal say that, on the contrary, that's exactly what how Haman was ensnared. He was ensnared by his sense of gaiva. Yes, what do you want to say, Jonathan?
I want to ask from before, why couldn't Aaron daven on behalf of both him and Moshe?
It's interesting, there's a Chazal, the Chazal tell us that, why didn't Klal Yisrael daven on behalf of Aaron and Moshe? Or let's say on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a Medrash that the Rav Soloveitch used to quote, that Klal Yisrael take it to task. Why didn't they daven? Moshe Rabbeinu, look what he had done for them. He was Meisa Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Hell also. And you're asking, why didn't
Aaron
daven for
him and Moshe?
Him and Moshe. For both of them, didn't Eretz Yisrael? So the answer apparently is, and that's what I'm suggesting here, that somehow the decree against Moshe Rabbeinu was irreversible. That Chazal described the beginning of Eschanan. Hashem tells Moshe, Al Tosef, Daber Elai Od Badaber Azeh. So Chazal say, had he additionally added one more tefillah, Hashem would have had no choice but to succumb. Can you read that Aaron HaKohen was aware of this irreversibility, and as a result, he didn't daven for either him or Moshe because he was afraid that his tefillah would be accepted. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah would not be accepted, and that would be a terrible patch and punning. Do you understand?
A slap in the face.
So Chazal tells us the Gemara Megillah that Haman even had to serve as Mordechai's barber, and he was also the balan, the bathhouse attendant. Gemara Megillah. And when Haman did fall, he actually received an additional insult to injury. It was not Esther who suggested hanging Haman from the gallows, but rather, who was it? Begam Charvono Zofu Latoyim. Vayem Charvono, Echomen Asar Yisim Lnei HaMelech. Gam Nei Hoitz Asher Asar Haman, Lemorachai Hashedi Betov HaMelech, Omeh Bevei Samon Gaboa 50 Amo. Vayom HaMelech, Tuvu Olam. Vayislu Es Haman, Ala Yitz Asher Yitz Lemorachai, Asa Melech, Shokho Haman. So Chavon is the one who suggested that gallows that were made by Haman to hang Mordechai, he should be hung on them. How did Chavona know about the gallows?
I mean, weren't they built already? And they
were like, so the Gemara says in Megillah, he was a shutef in Haman's sinister plan. He was a partner. But once he saw that Haman's suggestion didn't take place, what did he do? He ran for his life. A classic opportunist politician. We have a lot of them. And of course, Haman was not only abandoned by Chavona. He wasn't the first one to abandon Chavona during his hour of need. But if you remember, look in the very fascinating... Just to be medayik, my follow show was very into this. And look at Esther, Perakei. We'll start over here. Perakei pasuk yud. By Yisapak Haman. By the way, you know there were no bathrooms in Shushan. It says by Yisapak Haman. You always had to hold himself in. Pretty bad. You know when the entire story of Haman took place? In a swimming pool. By Yi Bimeach Hashverosh. This is what my Rebbe in second grade told me. That's what I remember. He's saying the Yiddish, Megedenk Dan Arishkaden. Remember silliness. That's what I remember. Don't take that seriously. So here, by Yisapak Hamon, look in Perakei, Pasigud, by Avob, by So, by Yishach, by Aves, Ohabob, by Azeres Ishto. Who are the Ohabob? His friends. And we find a number of times that he has friends. Look at Pasuk Yudalit. All of his what? Friends. Look at Perek Vav. Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel. By Yisabar Haman, Lazeres Ishto, Lechol, Ohavav. Guess what? Once his world collapsed, and what did his daughter do? She threw on him, what did she throw on him? The garbage can, if you will. The flower pot with the garbage. Guess what the Navi describes? All of a sudden, they're no longer Ohavav. Only whom? Look at Perek Vav. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomu lo chachama bezeresh yishno. They all became wise. I mean, never saw Shlita tell me what. What?
Could they switch sides?
Yes.
Chachama bagoyim.
Chachama bagoyim tami, but he quoted me the Gemara Babasa, Gemara Yud Beis. Chachama other binavi. That's your field, Shalom. Chacham other minami, the Gemara said. Today they know there's no Nebuah. The Nebuah was given to whom? To Shaitan Mektanim. But Chacham other minami. Chacham the double yourself, Chacham are greater than Nebuah. So they foresaw the future. What did they say? Im Mizera Yehudim Mordechai. Asher Achiloi Selim Palafon Alo Suchalo. You don't have a chance against Mordechai because he's of Jewish descent. You won't prevail. You're going to fall before him. So guess what? Not only did his other friends abandon him, who also abandoned him? Chavona. So I had someone who yesterday was my shutef, my servant, my confidant, and guess what? when he sees what is happening, wow, goodbye Charlie. He runs for his life. Politicians, opportunists, Shein Kamohu. I can give you many, many examples, maybe not in Montreal. Everyone is L'Shem Shamayim, except for the Prime Minister. What?
Separatists.
Chazal said, the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, this will be Messiah, Hakina v'ataima v'akavod, Motziim v'sa'odim v'noilom. What takes a person out of this world?
Jealousy.
Jealousy, pursuit of honor, desire. Lust. The Mishnah is referring to this world as well as the next world, you see from Haman. However, G'dol Yisrael, don't look for covet. They only want covet of Hashem Yisbarach, covet of Torah, and covet of Kabbalah Yisrael. That's what I saw in the G'dol Yisrael that I was zocheh to be in my lifetime. I'm going to have Salavitri Zatzal. I'm going to have Shafainzi Zatzal. Never looking for their own honor, only wanting to honor somebody else. I'm just going to end with a story that I have not really told here, but I want to say it open. One of the Dolei Ador that I was lucky to meet a number of times because of my Rebbe, I'm going to have Yisrael Alpes Zatzal, was I'm going to have Shafainzi Feinstein Zatzal. I was not in a position to measure his godless, and so beyond me. The Rav, his cousin, said he would have been a godel in the days of Akiva Eger, 200 years ago. He would have been one of the Dolei Ador. So that's quite a statement. There's a gentleman who was an oven godel himself, who was a product, unfortunately, of the Shoah, went through the Holocaust. He wrote a sefer against Rabbi Shafansky. He took 300 of his troops and he attacked him. That is not such a bad thing. If you disagree with someone, you can disagree with them. But the problem is he used language against Rav Moshe, which was absolutely unconscionable. Shote, pesi, tipesh. Wow. So, I'm in a store, a swarm store, in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and a saver comes out. I thought it was another volume of Rav Moshe Feinstein's swarm. It wasn't called Igros Moshe, but very similar. I won't mention the name. Or the name of the Mechaber. So I want to buy it right away. I looked inside. I was a little taken aback by some of the language. But I saw he was writing, as they say in Chinese, to the Zach. You know what he's talking about. All of a sudden, I see my Rebbe. I need some help, that's how. So he said, you can't buy that safer. We shouldn't buy the safer. I didn't buy it. My Rebbe said, I can't buy it. I couldn't buy it. But I knew I should have bought it. Because right away, the next day, I went into Cherem. Why didn't I buy it? Because my Rebbe told me not to. I listened to my Rebbe. It was put into Cherem. That was the end. That Rebbe, Adam Godel, lost his job. He was a Rebbe, a big Rosh Hashiva. He was fired. Because how could you speak about the Golan Dor in such a fashion? So then I went to my Rebbe Rav Nissim Alpin a little bit later and I asked him, what exactly happened with that fellow? And he told me the entire story. And listened to the story. The day that he wrote the Sefer, after he finished, he went to the same publishing fellow who published Rav Moshe Feinstein's at Sal Sferim. His name is Balshin Publishing on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And he said to him, I want to publish his sefer. So Balshin, this fellow, the publisher, was a Yodea sefer. You should know about this. I said, you live in that area. He was a Yodea sefer. And he takes a look at the sefer and he's horror struck, horrified. I can't publish this sefer with this kind of language. So the fellow said, no, I want you to publish it. I said, I can't. Why can't you? I can't. You don't want to say it. I can't. No, you have to publish it. I can't. Let me ask a Shiloh. Who's he ask a Shiloh? Rav Moshe Feinstein. You got all of He goes to Rav Moshe Feinstein, he asks the Moshe, can I publish the Sefer? Rav Moshe looks at the galleys, obviously he saw the language. Rav Moshe doesn't say a word. He said, why does he want to publish it? He said, he needs it in Panasa. Panasa! Publish it. He could believe it. He asked Rav Moshe several times. Publish it, Panasa! He published it. Next day it appeared. I appeared in the store, wanted to buy the Sefer. My Rebbe said, no, that's the end. Next day it was Mukhram put it to Cherem. A few months later, this Rosh Hashiva was fired from his job. Was offered another job. He was a goy. He was a real goy, this Rosh Hashiva. He offered another job. They told him, you can't get a job unless you bring us a hamlotza, a an imprimatur, a haskama from a gadol that you are worthy of the job. So who does he go to? Again, Moshe Feinstein's atzal, yes, for haskama. Talmid about Moshe thought, what? He's going to give him haskama? This blankety, blankety, blank? What he did, what he wrote? But Moshe wrote him haskama, 4 pages. He said, what? Are you? Ramesha finds it the little Ador. He said, what are you talking about? The same night that I was shown the Sefer by Balshin, the publisher, in my Kriyash Malamita, I said the following. Hareini Meichel, the call me, Sheikh Ninosi. I was Meichel him a long time ago. But maybe I might have had some twinge because of what he wrote. So I wrote him a 4-page haskama. So my Rebbe said to me, I need some help, but you want to know who the Oshiva was? He never called him Ramesha. He called him Oshiva. He couldn't even say the word Ramesha. You know who he was? That's who he was. So I said to myself, what do you mean? I said to Rabbi Nisim Alpa, he wasn't the God who knew Kalat HaRakulva? No, that was just a chagah. This is who Ramesha Feinstein was. No covers, no. That fellow needed a haskama, needed a job. I should find some other Haskama 4 pages. That is me. I heard that. And since then, I flipped out. That's what Dolei Ador are. And that's what I saw in Asal Beitchek, Rav Shlomo Zalman Oerbach, Rabbi Shem, Feinstein Zatzal, Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal, Yakam Eski Zatzal. That's what we have to strive for. Halavai, we should try to emulate this Gedolim primarily in this luster of character, which is incredible.